This is Creeps Anonymous.
It was motherfucking cold. Olivia blew tepid air from her mouth onto her frozen hands. It was time to accept that it was glove season. She just had to remember to grab them in the morning on her way to the bus. She cursed the car situation again briefly and then stuck her hands under her armpits like a reality TV survivalist. She walked down the chaotic ass end of Victory Boulevard, only a few short stops from the ferry terminal. From this point on the boulevard, you could stand on the highest point of the slope and stare directly onto downtown Manhattan across the water, blazing like liquid mercury in the sun. Olivia stared out onto the untouchable splendor of Manhattan, the jewel-like slant of the Freedom Tower, carved out at the tip of Manhattan, like a single shard of obsidian. She pictured briefly being anywhere else, maybe across the water, in a slinky building downtown, maybe somewhere else entirely, just away. Maybe she'd put on heels one day and clamber onto the ferry like she'd seen so many working women do, clutching one hand around a coffee thermos and the other around their sensible wool coats. If she was lucky, maybe she'd crunch numbers for a firm somewhere in a stuffy, thrice-repurposed municipal building. The thought made her sort of lonely, waking up at dawn every day to rock back and forth on the subway. Lunch at noon, back on the subway at 5, packed like pickles in a fresh jar. Doing that day after day until either she got old or sick of it entirely. She pulled out her phone and snapped a photo of the sun melting down the Manhattan skyline like a runny egg yolk. Instead of sending it to Max's number, this time she sent it to Dima's. Up early and caught a view of this, she wrote underneath the photo. Immediately after sending it, she could feel a sort of sticky wash of perfunctory shame. Even on some unsaid level, she knew she wouldn't get a response, and sending it at all made her feel like it was a childish bid for attention. She couldn't really tell when asks for true human interaction fell out of style, but it did feel like a game of consistently caring the least about everything. She grimaced, stuffing her phone in her pocket and shoving her chilled hands back under her armpits. She was actually the one enjoying the sunrise, so she intended to enjoy it, concerning herself with what was present instead of what wasn't. "Are you just going to stand there and freeze to death?" she heard a voice call over from the curb. Olivia craned her neck back towards the sound and saw Jess parked at the curb, peering at her through a cracked window. Feeling a wash of relief, she made her way over to the car, looking through the window. "Hey, beautiful, you got a man at home?" "Ollie, get your stupid ass in the car, I'm late to work." Jess made a show of reaching to grab her gear shift. "On it," she jumped into the car. Jess pulled away from the curb and rejoined the rush hour madness along Victory. "Are you going to Kifu this early?" Olivia pulled her backpack onto her lap and waited for the warmth to come back to her body. "Yeah, I have an earlier shift today." "Not bad. You don't get out of the ass crack of midnight tonight," Jess grinned, switching lanes. "Yeah, I just had to get up at the ass crack of dawn instead," Olivia laughed. "But I guess that's all behind me now. Are you headed to your residency?" "Starbucks made me run late." Jess reached down into her cup holder out of instinct, shaking her iced coffee. She took a pull from the coffee with one hand in the steering wheel. "Shh, don't tell anyone over 50 you got Starbucks. They're going to shame you for ruining the diamond or the housing industry or something." "Fuck, if they ever look at themselves in the mirror when it comes to either, man. World is going to hell in a handbasket. I'm going to have my Starbucks and avocado. They can pry it from my cold, moisturized hands." "Okay, but let's keep those live hands on the steering wheel for now," Olivia teased her. She took a moment squinting through the salt-dusted windshield. "Hey, so my dad called me the other night."
"Like, the?"
Jess took a quick, disbelieving look back at her as she turned right. "The tea man extraordinaire, yeah," Olivia said, leaning back in her chair. "I thought he was lost in the Caymans somewhere," Jess laughed. "The Keys. He's not big time enough for the Caymans if he blew my college fund." Olivia glared out the salty window, wishing for a bit of caffeine herself.
"Your what?"
Jess's voice went up an octave.
"Yeah, the whole thing. The house, too. That's gone," she said.
"Wait, what the fuck? Where have you been staying?" Jess was starting to jump into problem-solving mode, the exact thing that Olivia was trying to avoid entirely. First, because Jess had already been through enough, and secondly, because putting her through more brought out the unmanageable helicopter friend in her, now buried deep in her psyche after watching her loved ones try to pick themselves off. Trauma was one hell of a drug sometimes.
I'm fine. We're living with my aunt and cousin right now." Olivia kicked herself for fucking the conversation up this badly at 7 a.m.
"Why didn't you mention anything to me?" They were at a red light, so Jess's eyes were mercilessly trained on her in the prison cell of a car. Olivia bobbed her head from one side to another.
you had enough on your plate. I didn't want to burden you. Ali, you're not a burden. You're my friend. Jesus, this is the sort of stuff you come to me about, she said, breaking hard at a curb, glaring at her. I know. I'm sorry. Just, you've dealt with enough. You've managed enough people's problems. I don't want to make it even harder with my bullshit. It's not bullshit, Ali. Jess looked at her, shaking her head. When Max was here, you would talk to him. You're not up front with me like that. You keep it all locked up. Olivia could tell she was legitimately hurt. She didn't know how to hold that feeling properly, and it made her feel like a stumbling fool. There was no good way to describe that she'd bottled up so much that she'd lost the corkscrew entirely. I know, she said, and I'm genuinely sorry, but I really have to get to work. We could talk about this when I get out later. She grimaced apologetically at Jess. You're already here, Jess said, gesturing a frustrated hand out the window. Olivia looked outside and saw that they were indeed pulled up outside of Key Food. Oh, she laughed, mostly at herself. She clambered out and leaned down, trying to read Jess's impassive face as she stared out the window. I can call you later and we can catch up if you want. Sure, she said, not looking at her. Olivia closed the door and watched Jess pull away. She seemed to have developed an innate skill of alienating every single person in her 5-foot radius recently. It felt so clean and so quick now, like a patchwork of paper cuts. She groaned at her own ineptitude, punching it down before she started for the door. It felt like the start of a really long shift. 3 minutes past Olivia's 8th hour, she turned away from the register and unlaced her apron, hopping from foot to foot. My dogs are howling, she sighed, pulling the halter of the apron over her head. Oh, crap, my bad, sorry, someone said behind her. Olivia froze, realizing she hadn't turned her register light off or even dropped a lane-closed acrylic over the conveyor belt, so thrilled to be back in her bed. Sorry, let me grab you real quick. She turned and put her register keys back in, looking up at the man waiting patiently. He nodded at her, and she returned the polite nod, taking a quick moment to appreciate the sea-glass green eyes above the curve of his mask. She paused, busying herself instead and scanning the items and getting him on his way before she got stuck in a massive line at the end of her shift. Kettle One Vodka, Captain Crunch, Whole Milk, definitely a weird mix of groceries, and one she'd seen before. Can I see your ID? She asked with a perfunctory swipe of the vodka past the counter. He handed it to her, but his thumb failed to lift from the card when she pulled to grab it, like he was thinking of something else. It finally left after a moment. She took the card to punch in the birthdate into her register. She paused when her eyes rested on the name, Sebastian Muddle. Her eyes traveled upwards slowly as not to draw anyone else's attention. He was looking at her, the recognition in his green eyes clear. Olivia stowed his vodka, milk, and cereal in a bag, sliding it across the counter as he finished up, paying wordlessly. How's your grandpa doing? She asked. He's good, he answered, the amusement clear in his low voice. He was playing along, and to her surprise, grateful that she was keeping his alibi up. Trying to make it out, little by little, taking baby steps, you know. She nodded sagely. I hear at a certain age it's really about staying active. Olivia leveled out her tone and raised her chin to let him know she was ribbing him. Oh, you bet, Sebby laughed, pinching his face mask upwards to hide his smile. You working much later today? I'm clocking out. You're my last charge, Olivia said, grabbing her apron and water bottle from behind the counter. Well, thank you for your kindness again, he said, nodding gratefully. Once again, there was something familiar and warm about his voice when he spoke. It felt like a memory plucked out of a half-remembered dream, shapeless and formless, but she could remember it felt pleasant, but not why. I'll walk you out. Give me a quick second here, she said, punching out at the register computer. He nodded and walked off. Her eyes followed him discreetly over the monitor as he wove through the daytime shoppers with care. She was surprised to see him here, especially after their last conversation. Another echo of warmth bubbled to the surface. It felt like something close to nostalgia, except she wasn't sure why. He waited for her with his groceries as she grabbed her things, trying to make his tall, gangly body take up less space in the crowded throughway between the register and the door. The movement, folding himself into the woodwork for other people's consideration, gave her heart a soft, unexpected pang. She cleared her throat, stepping up. All set? He perked up as she approached, falling into step next to her as she headed for the exit. I wasn't sure if you'd remember me with the mask and everything. I'm surprised you came in yourself, Olivia said as they passed through the door. She could see his shoulders relax. I've come in a couple times here and there when I could manage. He slipped his wallet back into his pocket. I haven't seen you, actually. Olivia felt regret squeeze her chest, wondering how many times he'd braved the store during the busiest hours, wondering if it was just a bump into her. Oh, crap. I took a closing schedule. I'm covering for a coworker today, actually. She watched the embarrassed understanding pinch at his eyebrows for a moment before smoothing over. He nodded with good humor. Yeah, that would be why. It's not so bad, though, she said, filling in the awkward pause. Grave shift is kind of nice. You got less kids running around making a mess in the aisles, you know? Seppi raised an eyebrow. Of course. You do end up trading them in for drunks, though. Olivia laughed, almost annoyed at herself for letting him have it. It was an okay joke. I suppose so. She stopped, slinging her thumb over her shoulder. So, my car's over there. Hey, so I was wondering, he blurted, knees bending with the weight of some unseen pressure. She lowered her gaze towards the asphalt so he didn't see the amusement in her eyes. She hadn't been sure why he'd braved the supermarket on his own so many times until now. It was to ask her for her number. It almost felt like some karmic adjustment after Dima's ghost treatment in this past few weeks. She took a quick moment to gloat. Do you like miniatures or stop motion at all? He asked her. She blinked, eyebrows slinking upwards on her forehead. That was probably the last thing she'd expected, and the dawning difference between her expectations and reality was shaping up to be a downright embarrassing one. Perhaps she'd gloated too soon? Okay, I see you making that face. I get that that's a bizarre question. I swear it's not coming from, like, a Saw movie perspective or something. Seppi's face scrunched up painfully, knowing how he was coming across. I have a competition coming up at the Alice Austin this summer, and they only accept teams of two. Can't you just make up a name and put your grandpa down? I asked about that, but it's for an arts grant, and they're only awarding prizes to groups this year, he sighed. Where would I come in? She asked. I don't have a single artistic bone in my body. Well, thankfully, you wouldn't have to. Not really. I'd build the pieces, and I'd shoot everything. You just put your name down on the application, and I'll split the prize money with you if we win. You mean, if you win, she said. Sure. She chewed over the offer. How much is the prize? 2 grand, he said. You can have 500 for being a silent partner. Make it 6, she said, a slow smile growing on her face. He smiled back, admiring her haggling. Okay, you got a deal. Why'd you ask me anyway? If your interests are purely mercenary, that makes it easier for the both of us, Seppi shrugged. But it wasn't out of a lack of care or kindness, but more in a mad scientist kind of way. A means to an end. But I don't want to hold you up in the parking lot. How about you take my number down and think about it and get back to me? She nodded, pulling out her phone. She was about to hand it to him when she heard jostling and a voice like gravel behind her calling. Olivia! She turned and saw Tony, red-faced and crossing the parking lot. Oh, for fuck's sake. Seppi eyed Tony approaching, looking back to Olivia. Hey, do you know this guy? Yeah, that's my disaster of a father, she said dryly, watching as Tony huffed and puffed across the parking lot in his outdated, overwashed velour tracksuit, looking like a dollar store sunburnt Tony Soprano. Are you going to be all right? Seppi asked, rooted to the spot next to her. She looked down at Seppi's planted feet and then back at his worried face. Something softened inside of her. Yeah, I'll manage. Get out of here. He lingered for a moment, eyes shifting between Tony's closing distance and Olivia, and then nodded. Yes, ma'am. I guess I'll see you when I see you. She gave him a grateful nod. Only after Seppi disappeared between the cars did Olivia allow herself to take a bracing breath and face her incoming father.
Hey guys, it's Gabby, creator of Creeps Anonymous. If you like the work that we do at the podcast, remember to rate, comment wherever possible, and share with your friends and loved ones that you think might like the show. If you're feeling extra generous or you want to listen to the episodes 2 days early, make sure to head on over to patreon.com/yayyankee to help support the show. As always, thank you for being here and thank you for listening. Till next time.